Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome and to one and all. I must very much apologise for the impromptu nature of this because it's daylight savings time and I didn't know that. So I don't have my guest and luckily we are on the right computer to do the recording though. So I'm just going to waffle on air a little bit while I try and get my other guest sorted out, but coming up in the second hour we do have Richard Gage, fortunately for us. Hello, are you there? Ladies and gentlemen, I'm just kind of trying to produce my show an hour earlier than I thought I would have to, and doing pretty good considering the circumstances. Like, let's talk about the lighting, for example. Yeah, that's more light it. I'm talking about video production, radio production. Okay, there's a couple of things that need to really go into it. And I'm aware that a lot of the people who listen are actually interested in doing shows themselves and things of that nature. And I do have quite a lot of knowledge, or some knowledge in this area, about how to make stuff, considering I've made few thousand videos, and I'm just going to rustle around and get everything right here. So it's going to be very unprofessional for a second in this impromptu early bird daylight saving show. So who was I talking to? I believe it was Richard Gage. Okay, and we talked about this terrorism aspect and how Muslims are now greatly feared by people, you know, and I'm talking about, what's his name, Alex Ansari. Jesus, I don't even have my coffee, bro. One second, I'm going to yell for my coffee. And I want to get into that topic a lot more than perhaps I can, right? Because I don't have the the stuff that's going on at all, right? Don't know what different cultures are up to and that kind of thing. And I'm guessing most other people don't either, you know. You ever been to the Persian Gulf, you know? You ever hung out with a shitload of people in an Iraqi school or something like that? Did you ever go to a madrasa? Or would you say that your knowledge of these perceived enemies is actually rather limited, and that makes it a hell of a lot easier to perceive them as enemies because you don't actually really know anything about them? Because information, being informed and realizing that we're all one and not able to be put into these certain groups, you know, where certain types of people are no longer human. That's the whole propagandist idea. It was Aldous Huxley said that the idea of being a propagandist is to convince people that then a certain group of other people are no longer human. And this is what I am hearing a lot from everybody, right? This fear, this division, this worrying about terrorism and stuff like that. And it's just like, bro, it's almost like you slept through the last 8 years. I mean, didn't you know 9/11 was an inside job? You know, the architects and engineers for 9/11 Truth, 2,800 of them coming out, putting their careers on the line with nothing to gain to say that 9/11's like an inside job. The security for the World Trade Center being run by, what's his name, Jeb Bush, the brother of the then President George W. Bush, up until the day of 9/11. Okay, look, dude. The whole reason why people fear the Muslim terrorists and so on and so forth is because the media is hyping it up and the media is owned by the military-industrial complex. So who do you think they're going to tell you the enemy is? Them? The people that are taking away your freedoms? The people that are advertising to you 24/7 with utter garbage? You think they're the ones that, yeah, they must be the ones behind everything. Yeah, I'm sure the mainstream media would tell us that. I mean, they're owned by them after all, and there's no such thing as a conflict of interest, far as I can see. Is there anybody home? This whole concept of hate and being angry with each other and looking for a fight online, right? Like, literally, just making posts to get a rile out of people. It's trolling in general, right? But the whole world is now being trolled. Haven't you noticed? Right? Every single time anybody reveals anything damaging about their own personality or so on and so forth, they get ripped apart, right? They get all these mean and nasty and hurtful things said about them and to them through their Twitter and their Facebook and their YouTube comment sections and so on and so forth. And sure enough, all those people making all those nasty comments, zero subscribers, you know. No videos of their own. They got nothing. Like, literally. Imagine that. That the only reason why somebody exists is not to create something. Not to be nice to somebody. But to be a dick to the people who are creating something. Right? Is that your plan? If you got that idea from somewhere else, did you? Because it certainly wasn't inside some kind of rational thought, was it? I believe that many of us have a lot to offer the world, more than how we're currently valued and judged by those around us. Don't you feel that? Don't you feel misjudged? Undervalued? You feel like people don't get you? It's because you've woken up somewhat, and you know that there's a rot going on, and you don't like it. Isn't that the whole run of the mill? I mean, bro, dig this. I have no idea who my guests are before they come on the show. Generally speaking. Unless I've had them on before, of course. Why? Why do I do that? Because the conversations that come out of them are actually genuine. Because you're not coming in with there with some kind of agenda, with some pre-proposed questions. They're not on edge as though they're in the spotlight, in the hot seat, so to speak. They're here to just have fun, have a conversation. And that's when you get the best things out of people, when there is, in fact, some mutual respect and a little bit of fun. What's wrong with that? Apparently there are some people who have a lot wrong with that.
Oh, I don't like this Finney Eastwood person. He's got a terrible sense of humor. He should be more serious like me.
Really? How's that working out for you? Not too well, eh? Working up another heart attack, huh? Had three bypasses surgeries already. Did you know that your IQ drops 10 points when you have heart surgery, open heart surgery? You didn't know that, did you? It's probably because your IQ dropped 10 points. You know how many heart transplants David Rockefeller's had? 8.
8!
All right. Just unfriggin' believable. It's like they're sacrificing swathes of slaves to keep the Dark Prince alive. Like, you get into this rut, okay, between being lovey-dovey with everybody and at the same time not being an idiot and getting sucked in all the time by things. And this is a real problem because, what was it somebody said? I think it was Steve Hughes, the comedian. He was talking about travelling in India. He said that people are very, very unknowledgeable about India, okay? And he says he prefers it to when he's traveling in America. Because in America, everybody's so nice, and everybody believes what you say. And everybody's, like, okay with each other and all of that. In India, it's not like that. You've got people coming up to you trying to scam you whenever you're walking. All the time. Trying to sell you something, trying to hustle you, trying to pick your wallet or something like that. You've actually got to be on your guard. You've actually got to be on your defense. And he liked that because all of the people around him had to deal with that. And they had that kind of awareness about the world around them, how much thievery, how much trickery, how much scumbaggery is there. But when we come home and switch on the television set, we believe that there isn't, it isn't there, you know. We believe when we watch our favourite shows that we're not being programmed by these programs. But we are. All of us are. Everything's a program to acceptance of some kind. Well, that's a bit of a generalisation, isn't it? But, you know, I'm a talk radio show host. It's just what I do. Doesn't have to be accurate. It's just an opinion. Completely unsubstantiated opinion that everybody's being manipulated by ruthless criminal sociopaths with acute narcissistic personality disorder and a little bit of psychopathy. You know, I mean, what's wrong with that? I don't oh, God. Now, isn't it a frightening prospect? I got this whole concept for the Vinnie Eastwood show by the bull of the horns here, because it's just like, bro, look, I am very, very, very aware that they're incredibly scary, sickening, and quite frankly, depressing things going on. And I want to understand that we have a chance in all of this, right? Some hope in all of this. That's what we want. Now, ladies and gentlemen, one moment, please. I'm just going to check on my guest. I'll have to actually send the contact information to American Freedom Radio. What's his name? There we go. Got it. I've sent it to American Freedom Radio, and our guest will be arriving shortly. Hopefully it'll be quite lovely, you know. I am still on, aren't I? Okay, good. Oh. And we also bringing on Dave Von Kleist, I think, soon enough, which will be good. Ah, mate, ladies and gentlemen, there was a genesis to the Vinnie Eastwood show, you know, somewhat of a biblical sense. But I wanted to say, I've just got to tell my guest, because he says he'll be home in like 15 minutes, bro. All right, so we'll have him for about a half hour. Okay. Connect with AFR. And when you can. When you get home. Sweet. All right, now that that's all sorted. Probably should have thought about all of this. You know, because I had a sneaking suspicion. I was like, is there a daylight savings going on here? You know, like when I woke up this morning. And the show goes on many, many hours after I've gotten up. So I could have, conceivably, obeyed that little instinct in my head. I call it the ping. And Googled up the time zones and things like that. But I didn't. And look what happens. You wind up with a show where you have to basically wing it and produce on air. Nobody to blame but yourself. I get a few jokes right. And it's like, in this, I don't know, this feigned hysteria about racism and so on and so forth. You know, I like to make really inappropriate jokes. Yeah. Again, just what I do. What do you call an Arab tribal leader that's not too bright? A thick sheikh. You see? Because a sheikh is a tribal leader. You know? And what do you call a white tribal leader that has lots of guns? Sir. I said, that's right. I found that quite funny because I came up with it, and I find me quite funny. You know, whether you're laughing at me or with me, as long as you're laughing, that's the philosophy. Because it would be nice, I think, if people laughed a lot more. I mean, think about it. When you're watching the news and they're talking about this murder and death and suicide, and God, it's just freaking depressing, the news, isn't it, bro? It's real depressing. There's not a laugh in there. I mean, at least with the murders and all these things that involve very sensitive subjects, they should at least have some kind of crappy pun in there. That's where I'm coming from. Look, just because there's terrible stuff going on and life is horrible and the world is like a boiling kettle of shit, then bro, I think we ought to have a joke or two about it. I really do think so. Because if you're taking things too seriously, you wind up getting very angry about everything all the time. And it's not good for you, bro. It's not good for your blood pressure. It is not good for your life. Right? It's an interesting time when I was interviewing Dr. Leonard Caldwell. He told me, you know, Vinny, what? He doesn't sound like that, but I'm going to do it anyway. You know, Vinny, most heart attacks happen between the hours of 8 and 9 a.m. on a Monday. About 60% of them. Whoa. And he goes, because people who are living a life that is not fulfilling them, that is not making them feel good, their heart knows that it's not good. And it would rather die than go to that job one more day. And it's like, whoa, that's freaking deep, man. Imagine that. You can't escape from your heart. Isn't that sad? Really? Think about it. If you know something in your heart to be true, you can't escape it. You know, you can drink and do so on and so forth, but you can't freaking escape it. There's no way, bro.
There's just no way.
You can't live a life like that. Because it'll kill you. Whether it'll give you cancer or give you a heart attack or just make you age faster and just not enjoy your existence. I mean, think about the main goal in life is to enjoy your existence. How many cells are there in your body that are independent traveling around? Roughly 5 billion of them. How many organisms are there on the planet? You know, maybe tens of trillions? Insects included? How many stars are there in the galaxy? There's 100 billion stars. How many galaxies can we see just from our Hubble telescope? Tens of thousands. You think about that, the scale. How big are you? How small is life? How unlikely is your birth? What was that from Monty Python? Just remember that you're standing on a planet that's evolving and revolving at 900 miles an hour. Oh, I forgot the rest of the lyrics, but it's a very, very good song. And you should watch Monty Python's The Meaning of Life, like I did the other day when I was trying to cheer myself up, wondering about the meaning of life. And I think they nailed it pretty well. There's a boardroom meeting. But I say there's only two topics on the agenda. Number one, people are not wearing enough hats. and number two, the meaning of life. Oh yeah? So what's that about? It turns out that the human soul can only develop if it actually tries to. And people keep getting distracted and their souls do not develop. Oh. Now, what about those hats again? Yeah, Les, tell me more about the hats. just think about the genius of a comedic profile like that, right? You're sitting there and you're going, okay, how do you actually explain not only the meaning of life to people, but the meaningless of explaining the meaning of life to people who are infinitely distracted, who can't develop their soul? Imagine that there's actually a soul within your body that is either being hindered right now because of your actions or is growing because of your actions. Not because of your thoughts, but because of your actions. And tuning into this show is an action. All right? Tuning into anything is an action. Unless that thing you're tuning into is a distraction. You see? Because how many TV shows are coming out now? How many movies? How many sequels? How many prequels? The mind reels just looking at Hollywood alone, right? Don't even think about the television, but how much of a complex group of people there is that need to make a film together. Right? And I was thinking about this like in a truth movement sense. So on a film crew, you know, you've got a city's worth of people, 5,000-10,000 people. And together they accomplish this enormous work of art called a feature film, which has a bazillion things that go into it. And it's sometimes very hard and frustrating and painful work to do. But they do it nonetheless, and they produce things that people love. Now, there's me on the other hand, and I'm just like working by myself, and it's like got the email back from Richard Gage's producer saying, oh, could you get your assistant to answer these brief questions about your show? I was like, my assistant? That's so cute. The thing that I'm actually getting help. I mean, it's like, I'm in New Zealand, bro. There's 4.1 million people, and there's nobody doing the YouTube videos and the radio and the web and the social media and all of that kind of stuff in a truther capacity. You know, like the real truthers who aren't actually buying into the left-right paradigm or statism or slavery or frickin' cult indoctrination. There's so much cult indoctrination, it's unbelievable. It really does drive me nuts, bro. I'm like going out of control. It's everywhere I look. And it's like, oh, what do you mean? How's cult indoctrination everywhere you look? Okay. Have you ever been in a room full of people away from your family and your friends and stuff like that, where you've got a central authority figure who speaks in a low, monotonous voice that's almost the same rhythm to a heartbeat, and you're under fluorescent lighting that's not too bright and not too dark, and have to do a whole bunch of repetition and get ostracized if you acted different to anybody else, and have rewards threatened to be withheld from you if you don't continue through with what the cult wants? Yeah, you've been to school, haven't you? Well, most of us have. You know, even the ones that haven't gone to school have gone to a job, and it's more or less the same thing. Oh, you got to go on your training day. It's like an indoctrination school, man. Like, seriously. And what's very upsetting about that is the effect on the cult indoctrinated person to being told that they're a part of a cult. No, I'm not part of a cult. Yes, you are. You're part of the cult of the state. Okay, the state indoctrinated you. They frickin' warped your mind, bro. They killed your creativity. They charted your soul's course in a completely different direction. A very inferior direction to the destiny for which you were purposed. Is this not apparent? You know, am I not getting through? All of us had our lives stolen from us. Okay, back in the day when they first started up public school, which I hated pretty much every minute of, the United States actually had to send cavalry, right, guys on horseback to kidnap people's children and take them to school. That's the first public schools in America. That's how it actually played out. Why did they institute such a schooling system? Well, funny you should ask. You ever heard of the Franco-Prussian War? Of course not, because it was before World War I and before public schooling. Prussia used to be like Germany and Belgium and a whole bunch of other like freaking countries or whatever. Huge empire in Europe, right? And they had this big war with France and they beat the pants off them, all right? You know, surprisingly, the French got beaten. But why they got beaten was not just because they were French. That's another issue entirely for another day. But public schooling was introduced in Prussia. And so when the call to war was issued, a whole bunch of freshly indoctrinated youth who've been brought up by the state without question. Volunteered, stepped forward, followed orders. Did everything they were told to by a central authority figure in a uniform. Went through sleep deprivation, training camps, and things like that to break down the individuation of self so that you can't think, give you inadequate nutrition. You ever wonder why the school lunch shops and things like that don't have anything with nutrients in it? It's part of the cult indoctrination techniques, bro. If you've got enough nutrition, your brain can think. If you don't have enough nutrition, you can't. And thought, real clear-headed thought with a hell of a lot of sleep, is a cult's worst nightmare. Because only the times where you go, really, who said that? Oh, okay, when was that practice initiated? Oh, okay, and what kind of evidence do they have to suggest that this actually has any validity? When you ask questions like that, they're like, oh, well, blah, 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 you can't think about that. We've got a claim of truth. We're the ones who are the arbiters of truth. I speak to God. Do you now? Well, what's God saying right now? Is he by chance saying things that are very, very convenient for you? And your personal agenda? You know? Didn't people even think of that? And no, they didn't, because they got cult indoctrinated right before they even had a chance to think about what cult leaders are. They're narcissists and psychopaths. And guess all of these techniques that have been come up with to make people sleep deprived, make them nutrient deficient, make them not act as an individual, and make them see them as part of a group. Okay? That whole process is a psychopathic and narcissistic control technique. All right? Unfortunately, yes, you were cult indoctrinated by a narcissistic psychopath. So was I. So was pretty much everybody else. You've been in the military, you've gotten the worst of it. Been in the intel community, whew, even worse than that. You get into the secret societies and things, whew, there's another one again. Mate, it doesn't matter where you go. You're either one of the mildly cult indoctrinated people who maybe have some kind of individuality left that school didn't manage to destroy, or you're like most people, so traumatized by the things that they've been through that, just like Pavlov's dogs, a dog being electrocuted with a cage, no chance of escape. No matter how many times it tries to escape, the cage door's closed. Keeps getting electrocuted. So eventually, he stops trying. And even when the doctor opens the cage door, the dog just stands there and keeps getting electrocuted. We've been experimented on. You know, they've run tests and done studies and so on and so forth, best and the brightest or whatnot, to work out what makes us tick and how to make us march to their tune. What kind of value does individuality have when there is a reality like that? It makes me kind of sad. Does it not you? Do you not feel like there's a great opportunity in life that's been missed? Now, American Freedom Radio, Dave is home. Speaking of opportunities that might get missed. American Freedom Radio, Dave Von Kleist is here. Anytime you want to... There we go. Dave.
Hello.
How are you, mate?
Well, I'm fine. How the heck are you? I haven't talked to you in, gosh, I don't know, maybe a year? How long has it been?
Oh, man, I've been off the air for near on 6 months, maybe since September last year.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, man.
Well, cheers.
Cheers, brother.
Good enough.
Well, we were talking about the truth movement and things like that, and cult indoctrination, and how people get into these little niches of thought and whatnot. But I just want to introduce you first to the audience. Dave Von Kleist is a documentary filmmaker. He made the film 9/11 in Plain Sight. And he also is somewhat of a musician and has, in fact, come here fresh from the recording studio a half hour ahead of schedule to be here.
Did I interrupt something? I'm sorry. I didn't mean to...
No. It was actually my problem.
Because I just walked in the door.
I know. Well, we were live on air on American Freedom Radio.
Well, that's way cool. Are we doing video as well?
Yeah.
Wow. Hey. Wow. Wow. Okay, that works.
Yeah. See? We live in a wondrous age. Kind of like Total Recall. Now, Dave, if you wouldn't mind, we've only got... maybe about 25, 30 minutes left in the hour, and unfortunately that's all she wrote for this episode. But you were in some way responsible for the Vinnie Eastwood show coming about.
Say what?
yeah, exactly. It's an odd connection, but let me lay it out for you. Before the Vinnie Eastwood show... there was the Global Freedom Report. And before the Global Freedom Report, there was the American Freedom Report with Dave Von Kleist and Brent Johnson. And then you had to drop out, and then I came as co-host, and then Brent dropped out and I became the host.
I see. Okay. It was an evolution then.
Yeah. Well, one can only hope.
Yeah, I can see that happening. I completely understand. I think you know that I understand and probably understand maybe more than you think I understand.
More than most.
Okay.
So talking about this...
drinking coffee or a mysterious cup.
Oh, it's definitely coffee, but the cup itself is coffee-colored. or bourbon-colored, depending on your eyesight variance. Now... there is the other aspect of the truth movement itself, and I'm now seeing this pattern. I'm not sure if you're seeing it too or if anybody else is, but exactly what we were talking about 8 years ago with the releasing of mass surveillance and false flag terrorism and, like, hyping up of fear and so on and so forth, and a fractured, divided movements of people who are all at each other's throats left, right, and center. I'm seeing it happen again.
It's happening. It's happening much more intensely now because all the people that are joining into this political arena now, many of them have only been, shall we say, awakened, if they are indeed awakened, but they've only become politically aware in the past, say, 4 or 5 years, and that's all they know. And the point is that, as they say, if you don't, if you forget your history, you're destined to repeat it. But if you don't know your history in the first place, you don't have a foundation to build your schema of the world upon. And there's a lot of the stuff that's happened over the past several decades that a lot of the current protesters, whether they be Trumpaholics or libtards or whatever, because they're both sides is absolutely confused beyond description. It's like idiocracy happening before our eyes.
Mm.
And it's scary. You know, it's social engineering at its finest.
Mm. Now, Dave, you want to tilt your camera up just a little bit to get the top of your head in there? That's beautiful. So I also wanted to talk about the what part music plays, right? Because my guitarist is outside, just strumming along, and we're going to be going out to see him play tonight.
And, all right.
So just thinking about this, like I'll be walking around the house and I'll be frustrated about something or whatever, but then a tune will come in my head, and it might not be my own tune where it might be, and I just start singing it out loud, and whichever, and just start grooving to it. And I was thinking, is there a connection between the truthers who actually stay true and musicianship?
Well, I don't know. That's a very good question. I when I think of musicians or the soul, the heart, the creative spirit, I think that the people that are involved in the creative arts are less likely to intentionally deceive. I don't know if I'm putting that correctly, but I can only speak from my point of reference. I've always been a musician. I've always been a singer and a guitar player. And I've always done radio and voices. And it was only in the mid-90s that I started in earnest doing radio talk shows. But Yeah, I think that that people that have a creative spirit, I suppose they tend to be more liberal, but I don't necessarily fit that mold. But I think that musicians are more honest, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, there's this concept I wanted to explore a little bit, was the drain of daily life. Right, the drain of daily life and the liberation that music and just having a fun conversation can actually have, right? Because mm-hmm. That's where the sources of inspiration tend to happen, isn't it? I think have innate abilities to connect to different, you know, sonic patterns, and they actually do have a visceral effect on your emotions and that
Absolutely.
Kind of thing.
Absolutely. Music is, you know, they say music soothes the savage beast. Music speaks in a way that language can't. Music is universal. And it speaks to the soul. You know, and that's why they always say sing the praises of God. Whatever the religions are, you know, they all sing their praises, you know, and it's all about frequencies. It really is.
Like a good bus system. It's all about frequency.
Okay. Oh boy. So anyway, I'm back in the States here. I've sort of coming up on the ninth year of a self-imposed radio hiatus, and basically stopped doing that. That's why I said I'm back into the musical roots here. I left the 9/11 truth movement behind. I'm enjoying this. I mean, I'm watching sort of like on the sidelines of what's been going on.
It's quite funny, actually, because guess who's on next? Richard Gage from Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you see, I've gotten a different perspective, okay? When I left the 9/11 truth movement, what I was seeing is the same thing that happens in whatever group or movement that there is. If you're speaking out against vaccines, or if your issue is chemtrails, or if it's global warming and stuff, it doesn't make any difference what your issue is. Whether it be 9/11 or the Waco thing or the Oklahoma City bombing, there are always infiltrators, and there are always those that are in the movement for the wrong reasons. There are people that want the praise, the ego stroke, the accolades. They want that plaque that hangs on the wall that says, you know, here's the so-and-so that brought us the real truth. And then there's the other people that want to sell their books or their videos, or they want to promote this or sell that. And when you get into that for the wrong reasons, whether it be ego or money, then you're simply in it for the wrong reasons. And unfortunately, that's happened to a good portion of the truth movement. And a lot of the other movements that are out there. And then you add to that the government infiltrators, the instigators, the provocateurs, the rumor mongers, the gossip makers. And there are so many of those. There are people that have full-time jobs just doing that, creating personalities, going out and antagonizing somebody because they're a great radio talk show and they're getting too much influence. I mean, I've been through that myself. You know, just Google me and you'll find there's a website out there that says I've been working with the Nazis. And that was another group that said I was a CIA Mossad. A CIA mole. I was also a skinhead and a Nazi. And I was also a member of the Israeli Mossad. So, I mean, there's all kinds of stuff. Well, then there was a rumor that I was dead. Well, maybe I am. But but the point is that there are people out there that are designed to confuse people and to create division. And, you know, in here in the States, we've got the Republicans and the Democrats, that, you know, the Hillary idiots and the Trumpaholics and all that stuff, you know, and this is all being done by design. Red versus blue. And I'm trying to, my only message right now is rather than look at all the differences that we have, let's get down to the real, real basic questions, okay? Let's have somebody red over here and blue over here and say, okay, a Democrat, do you like war? No, I don't like war. Okay, fine. Do you like war, Mr. Republican? No, I don't like war. Great. Then you agree. You don't like war. Okay, let's talk about, do you like forced vaccines? Do you like forced vaccines? No. Do you? No. Okay, that's something else we have in common. Do you like the system that we've got on a fiat money currency, whether it be in the United States or right over there in New Zealand or where all over the world over where they're doing fiat money? Do you like that? No. Do you like that? No. So the point is the big issues, the banks, the corporations, the corporate mentality of the Western world running everything. Everything is based upon profit. Forget people or progress or peace. If it doesn't make money, then they don't want to have anything to do with it. And that's one of the problems with our society. And I think we all recognize that, whether we be right or left or red or blue or Republican or Democrat or liberal or conservative, it doesn't make any difference. Point is, there are some core basic things, human rights, human common sense, that we can all agree with. And if we can get those, get those issues to bring us together, all the rest of the stuff will fall into place. You take out of the loop, you know, the military industrial complex, you take out big pharma, you take out allopathic medicine, you take out the controls that we have on all of the foodstuffs, commodities, keeping prices up or down. I think a real good person to listen to would be Jacques Fresco from the Venus Project. And I realize that's utopian and it's idealistic, et cetera, but when you stop and think about it, as a species, we really don't have much choice. We have to solve this problem or we are going to destroy the planet and ourselves. And that's basically it. I've gained a whole different perspective living out of the country and in South America. And the situation that I was in, I was lucky enough and privileged for the six years to meet probably 60 to 65 different families that had come to stay at this little farm that we were at. And they were from Italy, from Taiwan, from Australia, from New Zealand, France, England, all over the world, and gained a whole different perspective by speaking to these people about what their feelings are on not just the United States, but the entire Western mentality, the entire Western agenda. And the whole world, basically everybody that I've talked to, looks at the United States and the UK as being the maniacs who are running the asylum. And I don't know how we're going to get out of that. You know, I mean, that's one of the reasons why I took my chips and left the table, because I could see where we were going and what was happening to the real people who were in there for the real reasons, speaking real truth. And hey, I'm sorry, I'm no martyr. You know, it gets to a point in my life where I want to say, hey, wait a second, I did what I can. I threw it out there. It's up to somebody else to carry that torch, you know. Because sometimes it gets too hot to handle, if you will. But anyway, that's sort of my message. Everybody's got to come together. Am I running on too long?
No.
Okay. I just didn't want to turn it into a diatribe. It was
I wanted to insert a singular quote, you know.
A train of thought, I suppose, you know. Let's face it. We've been all raised and weaned on a steady diet of misinformation, disinformation, and lies. So why does it not make sense to understand that our opinions are based upon that misinformation, disinformation, and lies. And therefore, how good is our opinion if we base it upon that? We have to have an open mind. We've got to look and embrace the opportunity to be wrong about something, because that gives us, you know, an opportunity to grow. Now, there are two types of people in the world. People who have an exclamation over their head, an exclamation point, or a question mark over their head. People with an exclamation point know. They are confident in their beliefs. They know the truth. They know what, you know, and therefore their doors of information have closed. Okay? They're not going to grow anymore. Then there's the people with a question mark, and they're the ones who are saying, I don't know, but I'd like to know. And those are the people who are going to grow. And the only way we can grow is to admit to ourselves that we can be wrong. We have to recognize that we have to swallow our pride sometimes, and that's really hard for a lot of people to do. And to be honest, I would say 90%, if not more, I can't even make a guess, but most of the world has to realize that whatever their core beliefs are, they're based upon information that was given to them from early childhood. And we all know what social engineering does, and we all know what's happened to Western society with the advent of television, surveillance, what's going on, you know, I mean, the stuff that's put out on Facebook and Twitter and all that social media. There's so much crap that's put out there to instigate and to mislead and to confuse. And that's where we are. Doesn't make any difference what side of the political spectrum that you're in. You have to be able to admit that, hey, look, chances are I got some pretty screwed up core beliefs, and I have to have an open mind to be able to change them.
Well, what was it somebody said?
I went off on a tangent again. I'm sorry. You got to shut me down. Ask me a question.
No. It's my show. It's permitted. In fact, it's encouraged. It's kind of what it's for. It's just, well, don't you think about that? Like, you could literally just sit there and rant on and actually talk about something that you really feel and you really think, without actually holding back and not stopping talking until you actually finish saying what you thought, right? Is there anything wrong with that? I don't think so.
No. I try to use common sense and logic, and I know that that's, you know, a lot of people work off of emotions. And I suppose I do that to a certain level as well, but I like to use common sense. And I find it really interesting, as a matter of fact, you know, all this stuff that's going on here in the States, and they're talking about whether or not there was communication between Trump and Putin, and if there was collusion with Hillary and the Russians and and I hear all of this stuff that's going on. And they're all saying that it's a conspiracy. It's a conspiracy, but they don't have the evidence.
What I love is the article that came out that said that the CIA just got exposed in Vault 7 as having stolen Russian hacking techniques and were now and could now hack people and leave fingerprints to make people think it was the Russians.
Yeah. I mean, that's why you just can't believe everything that's going on. But the issue here is that, you know, they are all throwing accusations back and forth, and there hasn't been any evidence that's been produced to support any of these accusations. And the accusations are flying in both directions, from the Democrats at the Republicans, Republicans at the Democrats. You know, oh, he did this, or she did that, and they did this, but there's no evidence. So using that definition of conspiracy theory that we did so long ago, if there's a charge of a conspiracy to do something, but there's no evidence, that means by definition, it's a conspiracy theory. And they are throwing openly conspiracy theories back and forth and in the mainstream media. I mean, it's so plain to see. But you can't talk about things like 9/11, because that's the real conspiracy theory, right? Anybody that doesn't go after the official story, you know, well, we all know how that goes. But, there's, you know, conspiracy theories are now commonplace and accepted. So what can you do?
Well, one can only hope. I mean, I went to a party at my mate's place kind of thing, and we played on stage for them and that kind of thing. They had one set up in their backyard. It was real cool. And after the thing, we went inside to have a few drinks, and one of the guys asked me what I do for a living, and I told him that I was a conspiracy theorist. You should have seen the blood drain from his face. And I can't believe that somebody would believe that there's such a thing as people working against other people without those people knowing about it. It just doesn't make any sense.
I know the feeling, believe me. I mean, I got one word for people like that. Next. Move on, you know. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him think.
Yeah, well, my friend John Eisen used to say, you can lead a horticulture, but you can't make her think.
Okay. Oh, a little shade of Liza Minnelli in there. No, I mean, Liza Doolittle, that's who it was.
Probably.
It's a little before your time, I see.
I wasn't even a zygote.
No, Eliza Doolittle, My Fair Lady.
Oh, yeah. It was a cup of tea. A cup of tea. No, it's a cup of tea.
The Rhine and Spine falls mindly on the plain.
Yes, I actually am familiar with My Fair Lady, but I got thrown off by the Liza Minnelli reference.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It was a slip of the tongue. I meant Liza Doolittle.
Yes. And not to be confused with Dr. Doolittle, who talks to animals. No, Liza Doolittle just doesn't talk very good England.
Well, it's funny because Rex Harrison was in both of those films. What a coincidence is that? It's a conspiracy theory, I say.
Well, tangentry again. Have you heard of the Bacon Scale? All right. If you're, what was it? If you're in a movie with Kevin Bacon, you have a Bacon rating of 1. But if you were in a movie that somebody who starred in a movie with Kevin Bacon was in, you have a Bacon rating of 2, right? And they started actually rating these things, and it turned out that there's all these little seeming baby connections between Hollywood, all of its films, all of its actors, and Kevin Bacon to a certain degree. And this was actually found out a different social study. They found that your entire social strata only goes 7 separations away before it encapsulates the entire planet. All right?
Really?
Yeah. All
right.
You can get in touch with anybody through 7 degrees of separation. And that's why the surveillance systems are now working so well, because they can look at your Facebook and then look at all the people you've been talking to and then look at all the people they've been talking to and so on and so forth. So you go from 16 people to 2,000 people to 325,000 people to 1.8 million people, and you know, that kind of thing. And I was just wondering, what kind of ripple effect does that have in consciousness? If I walk down the street, and holding a sign saying 9/11 was an inside job, there might be a ripple effect from that in one person, perhaps, or even from this radio show. Somebody might wake up and go, and something I said or something you said makes them go, you know what, I'm going to quit my job, I'm going to stop being slave scum, and I'm going to start making some songs. You know, you never know. You might want to try your luck, but but the whole point is like playing your part, not wanting to be the be all and end all, but just be me, right?
Sure.
That's the whole
thing. Who else can you be?
Exactly. We're all, everybody's trapped up like trying to be somebody else. Don't be somebody else. Be your freaking self, because nobody can do that better than you. All right? And, in one way that you are the best, you are you.
Okay. Every day and every way, I'm getting better and better.
Unless you're distracted.
Well, yeah. And it's so easy to be distracted in this crazy world that we're in right now. You know, I shake my head at the level of manipulation that's going on. And I know it's been going on for a long time. I mean, you know how long I've been involved in this. I mean, I grew up in the 60s in Greenwich Village. I was there for the protests and all that. As a matter of fact, my mom's boyfriend was marching, was in the march on in Selma. And there was a very famous photograph of a guy with a flag, a guy playing a drum, and a guy playing a flute. They were marching on the way to Selma during the when Martin Luther King was there. And my mom's boyfriend was the guy that was carrying the flag. So, I mean, I've been exposed to the counterculture and all that for, you know, since my childhood. And so, I mean, I have a little bit longer reference point than a lot of other folks. And it's baffling to see what's going on in the college campuses today and what's coming in with the millennial generation and what their core beliefs are and what they're basing their beliefs upon, and the sense of entitlement that they have. It's like we're in a very dangerous, dangerous place in our country right now. I hope and pray that there in New Zealand it's not the same.
No, it's not the same, bro. It's much worse. Now, unfortunately, we've got to go. The show is the show is over. So, ladies and gentlemen,
it flies by.
Yeah, it does. It's in plain sight.
Oh,
it's a bad reference.
Oh, God.
All right.
It's all right. I feel like it's a piece of political toilet paper stuck to my shoe, and it follows me everywhere.
One can only hope. Thank you very much for listening, ladies and gentlemen. We'll see you again sometime at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.